This is the record spin edition a la calle. We're on the streets again. We're coming back. It's so nice to come back to our show and to come to the community. Pues bienvenida, bienvenida,
gracias.
Queens.
Gracias. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Vienes, bueno, tú vives en Brooklyn,
sí.
Right? Vienes con frecuencia a Queens?
No, I think this is my second time here in Jackson
really?
Heights. Yeah, I mean, I've been in New York for 2 years and like the pandemic took away a whole year, so
yeah,
I haven't had a lot
like
to
one,
explore.
Yeah.
As much as I'd like to, but I love this neighborhood. It like,
yeah.
Tiene mucha, it's just so much energy, so much
yeah.
culture. Me recuerda mucho como al centro de Tijuana or like
okay.
different parts of like TJ where it's like bustling and, you know,
yeah,
busy.
A lot of things happening,
everywhere,
a lot of cultures,
yeah.
right?
A lot of cultures.
Well, let's talk about your experience or your life. Let's just start like your background.
Both of my parents are from Sinaloa.
Okay.
So my dad migrated when he was 18 to Tijuana. My mom was raised in Tijuana,
okay.
so they met there. And I don't think they ever really planned to move to the U.S. I think it was just like happened. It was one of those things that they were gonna try it out back then when the border was really easy. I think
uh-huh.
you could just like literally hop the gate and
yeah,
you'd be there.
Right.
It was very, there wasn't a lot of like border patrol, a lot of that. So back then it was very easy for people to just kind of go and try it out. My mom.
Living?
Was already like big. I think she said it was like 8 months and decided to try it out and she stayed.
Oh,
and
okay.
so I always said like I got made in Tijuana and like was born, you know, by barely like de panzazo and like
de panzazo.
Sí, in San Diego. And so
okay.
yeah, and then we were raised there, but because their family's from Tijuana, it was like I grew up in Tijuana every weekend since I was a kid. We would cross the border. It was like a 20-minute drive because I grew up in South Bay, San Diego. So it's like south, 20-minute drive. Coming back wasn't so fast. Like the border can take 3 to 5 hours coming back, but that was our routine every weekend.
Every weekend.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday we leave, come back Sunday for Monday to go to work and school, and then, yep, that was like my upbringing. So I always say like my experience was very like fronteriza from both places because I experienced both, and I think a lot of my background comes from that.
You missed like the West Coast?
I do. I mean, the West
yeah.
Coast has a very unique vibe, and you know, it's the complete opposite sometimes of what we have here. I do miss more Tijuana and that lifestyle,
okay.
the culture, the music. I love San Diego, but San Diego is not as diverse or like fun, I guess you could say,
okay,
in general.
Okay. When did you start collecting records? I know you were like a passionate collector.
I started maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. I was kind of part of this online radio station in Barrio Logan.
Uh-huh.
It's called Radio Pulso del Barrio. And I started more like as a podcast. I was like in college and I decided to do something that was like related to like college life and whatever. And from there I started meeting other collectors, other women collectors, which for me was like very inspiring. Not only were they DJs, but they were very passionate, very knowledgeable about their music. A lot of these women were Chicanos and they were very knowledgeable in terms of like the soul music, lowrider oldies, a lot of old school freestyle.
There's a huge culture of like collecting,
yeah.
right? Like getting to know the music over
yeah.
there, isn't it?
And a lot of these people kind of, I think Barrio Logan became a hub for all those
okay.
people. And so like an art scene started developing there. Now there's a lot of like lowrider like events and like they've really like, you know, built that in the past probably like 5 to 10 years. And so meeting them was very cool and seeing how passionate they were because I didn't grow up with that kind of,
I was
like Mexican American and my parents were just, for me it was more the Mexican side, not so much Chicano, soul. I didn't really grow up with that. But learning about them and their culture inspired me to look into
okay.
what my mom was listening to at that time, which was a lot of like Latin soul I would consider, like Los Freddy's, Los Solitarios, Pasteles Verdes, that some of the ones were from Tijuana. And so they have a very like, kind of like garage, bolero sound to them.
Uh-huh.
So I started asking my mom, like, what are these, all these bands that we're always listening to? And I started collecting that music first. And
okay.
I never intended it to be like a DJ. I just wanted to kind of
get
into that, get
yeah.
into that, seeing them collecting and very passionate about it. And then I joined Chulita Vinyl Club. And that's when I think I started to diversify
okay,
my
okay,
collection because
okay.
it was no longer just for me. It was like, oh, now I'm going to be playing for other people.
Yeah.
And so.
Were your parents, are your parents into music, into records? Do you remember your mother or your father or uncles playing records, like seeing a turntable at your house and something
no,
like that?
Never.
No, never.
My mom thinks it's kind of funny that
Is
I collect
it? Yeah.
records. She's like, wow, like I didn't have records. Why do you have records?
How come you?
I think like it just became one of those things like, yeah, I saw other people like the radio station that I mentioned, they were really into records and appreciated it. And I was like, wow, like, I've always wanted to, like, I think I had bought a couple records here and there at thrift stores, but I didn't really own a turntable. It was, like, one of those hobbies that I wanted to get into, but I didn't really know much about.
Yeah.
And, but my parents did collect a lot of CDs growing up.
Pero sí había, había música. There was music in your house. Sí,
coleccionaba muchos discos, así rancheras, banda. My dad is really into that. And so, era un catálogo where they would, like, sign up every month, and you would get CDs every month. So, they had a pretty big collection, and I think that I think I got that from them. Esta noche se presenta desde Oakland, California. El mero güero de Rivero. Reporte ilegal. Chamama Crew. Como dice. Esta noche estamos trayéndote el mejor sabor a bailar, a gozar, baila la cumbia, de brinquito carnal, echa el ritmo, sabroso, sabroso. Con la fiebre latina de esta cumbia.
Talk to me about the Chulita Vinyl Club. How did it start? How did you get into? Did you were you one of the founders? How did that start?
No, I wasn't. So Claudia is the founder. She is originally from Texas. She had moved to the Bay, and I believe she's in Texas now. So she started the chapter back there, and I think just like she started inspiring a lot of people, just like other people collecting records and being
an all-female. This is a girl collective, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's an all-woman collective. It's a total of seven chapters, different cities, seven cities. And so she started there, and I think it just kind of expanded. She moved to the Bay Area, and two chapters started over there. Then it slowly like went to LA, Santa Ana, and San Diego was actually the last chapter that we've opened or that started with the collective. And yeah, it's just like a group of like women of color, POC, LGBTQ women who are collectors from all genres and no experience necessary. Some chapters have four girls, some of them have like seven, eight, ten, whatever. Okay. So there's really no limit. And every kind of city has like autonomy over how we decide to run our chapters. But overall, I think the mission is to kind of like, you know, be part of our culture, our background, and preserve that kind of music.
Is the collective open to bring more girls into the collective, whatever.
Yep.
I mean, they open, if there's a girl who wants to be part of it, just call or get in touch and you would.
Yeah, I don't think like all chapters are always recruiting. I think just because of like the commitment that it takes and like organizing events and festivals, and it's just harder the bigger, but I think we're always open to hearing people that are interested, and if they're really committed, I think there's always like a way to either start or help them get started. I think we're always open to help people too, and like a lot of people don't know where to get the equipment or where to even get it, so I think that's something that we provide in terms of resources that they can always reach out. And if people are recruiting different cities, that's up to each city and like you know, whatever they want. But in general, I think it's always like some like a chapter you can reach out to and get more information.
Cool. Do you think that are the benefits of being in a collective or as a DJ? Because I've seen like since the scene, the DJ scene started, I have seen like more girls getting into it. And another thing that I've seen is that girls are more organized. Why do you think this is happening, and what are the benefits of being like so organized and in a collective?
Yeah, I think I mentioned earlier when I started collecting, my intention wasn't to DJ.
Yeah.
I just was more for just preserving that and collecting. But I think when I got asked if I was interested in being part of the chapter, San Diego chapter of Chulita Vinyl Club, it really like helped to be part of a collective, because I feel like a lot of women put on a lot of work and it's hard to get started and to put your name out there. But knowing that I had a network already that was built and that was supportive and had a name behind it, I think encouraged me to really go for it.
Yeah.
So I think just the support system that there's behind, and just knowing that we depend on each other and help out each other when it comes to getting started. And and so one of the girls that was in our chapter, she's been DJing 15 years and been collecting for long. So it was like she was kind of like our, we would call her Mama Moni, because, you know, she was like already knew everything and like a mentor. Yeah. So she definitely helped when it came to not only like the actual craft, but the business side of like, how do you respond to these emails? Like, what are the questions that you ask? A lot of that we don't see, you know, the behind the scenes type of stuff when it comes to money and knowing how to get paid. It's a huge thing that I think we don't always know, and no one really teaches you how to do it. So having someone like that and being part of the collective where we could also answer questions, and we have a big like email group where we all kind of streamline everything, and a lot of the questions that people had, like sometimes we would fundraise for someone if they needed equipment, so we would kind of help each other. So I think the biggest part has a support system behind that encourages, because starting, like I said, is hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. Yeah. And is it, do you think it's harder for a girl as a DJ in this world, man dominated scene? Is it harder for a girl to start like wanting to be a DJ?
I think things are getting better. I think more people are open to like providing that representation and interested in you know, kind of making that part of events and making sure that there are women, you know, in the lineup. So I think it's gotten better with social media now that people can follow and know where you're playing. But in general, I think, yeah, I think it's sometimes hard in the sense that like maybe people assume that as a woman, you don't know as much as a male.
That's assumed,
or,
right?
Yeah. Or
it still
that
happens? Do you still feel it like in the present time?
I haven't lately, but I through my experience, I have where like I bring equipment and there's like the sound guy trying to tell me how to plug in my equipment, and you're like, you wouldn't tell a guy that because you would assume that he knows what he's doing. But I'm or I've been told how to plug in the wrong way, and I'm like, that's not how you do it. There's that mansplaining that still goes on within that, and so that I think is everywhere and it's inevitable. But I think people are being more respectful.
It's been changing, right?
Yeah, I think people are being more respectful and understanding that I know as much as you do, and or more.
So, or more.
Yeah.
Many times it happens, and the energy, definitely, the energy of a woman is completely different than a man's.
Yeah. And I think women are just very supportive, and I think like when a woman is playing, I feel like it brings all this woman energy, and everybody wants to support, and there's a really nice vibe that that happens when when people just want to support you. And
You're a journalist, right? Was that your interest at the beginning of your career? And is that connected with your collection and your passion, or how are they, did they come together, or they started different and now they come together? How's that you manage like your profession and your other profession that, as a DJ?
Yeah, I think funny enough, I think through writing and being a journalist brought me to this kind of radio station that I was mentioning. Yeah. So I got exposed to that through writing. I feel like it's helped me discover new things and explore, and you know, just going into different scenes that I wasn't into has come from writing and just exploring and as a reporter. And so I think it goes hand in hand that way. And yeah, it's inspired me to write about certain times about music, but I also write about culture and film. And so I think just through DJing, I've met a lot of like-minded people and like cool people that have inspired me or led me to something else that I write about, and writing has taken me to other gigs or whatever. So I think they really go hand in hand, and
they ended up being connected.
Yeah, and I think one feeds the other, and I meet great people through both worlds, and exposes me to a lot of, like I said, scenes that I probably wouldn't have found just on my own, you know, without that.
How do you feel about New York right now? Like, we're trying to get out of this crazy year, the pandemic and everything. How do you feel now about New York? Do you have any expectations? What do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like a city that you like never finished exploring, and feeling still like I'm still new here. It's
really
very exciting still, like just being in Jackson Heights, like not exploring it enough before, and just seeing all the possibilities. I think it's something that's really, really cool and that I really look forward to. And then I recently moved to Bushwick, and so I think just being in the area too, being around a lot of other people that I've met during my DJing times or whatever, has like really made it exciting. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to like continuing my collection, expanding more, and hopefully like reaching out to other wider audiences and just playing more.
For the last part of this chat conversation, we asked you to bring a record. Like that record that it's special for you, or your favorite, or the one that never leaves the case for a gig. So let's listen to it. What did you bring for us today?
So I brought La Diabla. So it's a band based in San Diego, Tijuana. They're friends, and I've been a huge fan since the first time that I saw them.
Yeah.
To me, they really like represent the kind of cumbia punk lifestyle, just growing up in that scene. And the first time I saw them, I think I was like 24, and for my 30th birthday, they came to New York the first time. And it was like, I don't know, it just feels like just throughout this whole time that I've been collecting, I feel like it always, they always bring me back to 45.
Yeah, go ahead.
To my hometown.
All right. This brings you, this is like your background, basically,
yes,
right?
Yes, this is like, San Diego, Tijuana,
San Diego and Tijuana.
It's a special place.
Interesting thing for you, you were mentioning, like, you living here in the States, but going back to your home, like, every weekend.
Yeah.
That's, like an advantage. Es una ventaja poder ir a visitar a tu familia y tus amigos, pero vives en Estados Unidos, ¿no? Y también construye, pues, te construye como
culturalmente. Sí, o sea, tener las dos culturas tan cerca, like, a la distancia de 20 minutos, is just a crazy part to be in the world, you know? A lot of people don't get to experience that, and you get rich cultures from both sides, the Mexican culture, the border, Transfronteriza Chicano, San Diego, and like this merging of like different people and just really busy, bustling. Tijuana is like been considered one of the most dangerous cities, you know, in like the world, and just having that next to a very suburban, like beach town, San Diego is like a combination of just so much. And I love Tijuana. A lot of people have said the best thing about San Diego is Tijuana.
Yeah.
Because like in 20 minutes, like I said, you can be and have some of the best food. And
let's hear a little bit of this. Like corny.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, what it is all about. So La Diabla, La Poderosa. Mm-hmm. They active right now?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep, they're currently active, and this show that they did for my 30th birthday was like they're coming back to doing shows again, so they hadn't played for a year. They're based in San Diego and Tijuana, so half of the band lives in both, half and half. Or some of them live
that
in both.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
That
like
is awesome.
One of them lives in Tijuana and crosses back and forth, so it's a very cross-border band.
South of the border, they say,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love it. Una cumbia poderosa suena por el aire. Esa sería más o menos la conclusión de la charla con Laura. Se fue. Laura se fue. ¿En qué momento escoges ese nombre para tu identidad como DJ?
Un amigo lo hizo en Instagram years ago, hace como 10 años. Y ya cuando estaba pensando en el nombre de DJ, I was like, well, it's already there, the name.
It's
and
right
every
there.
Time I go, siempre no falta quien me cante la canción.
Of course.
It's become, the thing.
Awesome. Laura, muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias.
Qué chévere tenerte aquí en el Record Spin de Los Herederos, el Sony Cycle. En breve vamos a escuchar el set. ¿Qué trajiste hoy en tu cajita para tocar?
Some fun stuff. Traje some disco, a lot of cumbia. So.
Only 45s or not strictly?
No. Mostly 45s, but one or two LPs in there.
Oh, one or two,
yeah.
But you're looking for more like 45s than
45s, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Laura, thank you very much.
Thank you, yeah.
It was awesome.
Yes, thank
you're
you
awesome.
Guys for
We're going to listen to their music. Well, this is the Record Spin a la Calle edition. We are Los Herederos.